From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire, collected alongside, and then comes West Coast and War Story. The Gunrunner's on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected gonna win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead, a 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and a very happy new year to everyone throughout HRN Nation as we kick off the first Equine Forum show of 2018. Happy to have you with us here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios on a chilly morning here in the bluegrass, to say the least. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't say that we hope everybody throughout the Northeast and the East Coast is staying warm and staying safe because of what we saw come through this past week with that severe winter storm and all of the frigid temperatures that are still crippling much of the country. But we hope you're staying safe, and we hope that we can warm you up on this Saturday morning. JT, what's up, man?
Everything's cool if you like 2 degrees.
Yeah, I know, huh? And a wind chill below zero.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight. But the roads were safe this morning here, and that was good. I had a guy like riding me down the little path by Kroger Stadium on the way to the studio, yeah. But I shook him off.
I heard that it was in the low 20s in Ocala yesterday morning. Ocala, Florida.
Yeah, Florida's not been too warm and toasty either for Florida, but still wish I was there.
Yeah, I saw South Florida down by Gulfstream Park was only in the 50s or something the other day. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it is for Florida, but I always tell people about the time we went down there, it was like 63 or something. We go to the hotel, we change into shorts and Hawaiian shirts and walk over to the track, and we see this girl come in with a parka with fur all over the hood,
yeah,
of her.
And I remember
we're
that.
Just cracking up. It's like, are you kidding? It was like 17 degrees when we left Lexington.
So, yeah, I know. Some of those mornings we would kill for 50 degrees after you leave Lexington here. Maybe this will help warm some folks up. We are only 90 days away from the start of the Keeneland Spring Meet here in Lexington, which is welcome news, which means that we are just 119 days, 8 hours, 52 minutes, and, wait for it, 36 seconds away from the Run for the Roses Saturday, May 5th at Churchill Downs.
And pitchers and catchers report way ahead of that.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
Yeah.
February, right?
I think so, yeah.
All signs of spring. The Eclipse Awards are on the horizon. We now know the finalists in each of the different categories, which we'll kind of walk through some of those as we move throughout the program this morning. The Eclipse Awards happening at Gulfstream Park on January 25th, and that is in conjunction with a massive weekend of thoroughbred racing. The Pegasus World Cup comes up on January 27th. We will be there to bring you exclusive radio coverage here on the network, so don't miss any of that action. January 27th, as we kick off our 2018 race broadcast series. And Jude, we have the first Derby points race of 2018 taking place later today.
Yes, the Sham.
Such a sham.
Yes, that's what we were referring to yesterday, the disqualification of Solomini.
Oh, yeah. Right, that's probably a good analogy there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was not good. But anyway, we're going to have the Sham. We'll see how it goes today, and we also have a really nice race in Florida, the Mucho Macho Man.
Yep.
That we'll see Dak Attack make his return to the races. He's quite a nice horse. I was there the day he broke his maiden at Churchill Downs, and he's a big, good-looking thing. Dale's high on him, as per usual.
Dale's got some nice 3-year-olds, huh?
The guy's stacked.
Yeah.
He's got like 5 or 6 on my list. I've got 32 on my list so far, and he's got quite a few of them.
Yeah, an official happy birthday to all of the newly turned 3-year-olds, all the thoroughbreds unofficially turn a year older on January 1st. So all those 2-year-olds you were watching last year are now 3 and looking to make their way down the road to the Kentucky Derby, as are we here on the network, and we'll bring you live coverage of many of those big prep races throughout the year. Dak Attack, if I'm not mistaken, isn't he named for Dak Prescott?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does he win that race today?
I think he's got a really good chance. It's a tough field. Coming off a layoff, you never know how a horse is going to perform, but I'm sure Dale's got him at a fever pitch, ready to roll. So on paper, his 2-year-old numbers are just as good as a lot of the horses in the race, 3-year-old numbers, and horses usually improve around 20% from 2 to 3. Now, it's early 3, but his last race was at Ellis Park, so he's had a long time off. He should be bigger, stronger, tougher, and if he's ready to roll going a mile, it's the first time he's ever gone a mile, he should be very tough in there.
Well, and you mentioned that the Sham race is the other big 3-year-old race, and that is a points race. The Mucho Macho Man is not a points race for the Derby picture, but the Sham is, and it's going to go as race number 5 at Santa Anita this afternoon. The post time is 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 locally on the West Coast. All eyes on McKenzie in here, the 3-5 favorite on the morning line. Mike Smith is aboard for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. You mentioned the disqualification of Solimini in the Los Alamitos Futurity last time out. That was on December 9th. That was the race that gave McKenzie the victory, and McKenzie now a perfect 2-for-2. Baffert removes the blinkers today. He's raced with blinkers in each of his first 2 starts. They'll take the blinkers off, and Jude, this looks like McKenzie's race to lose, and we'll see if he can, you know, he can deliver at a short price.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because Baffert takes the blinkers off McKenzie, but he puts them on Marino. Big A said to me yesterday, what, he only has 1 pair of blinkers? Which was a great line. But, you know, McKenzie, I think he's going to try to get McKenzie to relax off the pace. And it's Marino's first time going 2 turns and stretching out. So I think you're going to see Marino go to the lead and McKenzie try to rate off of him. And we'll see how that goes. Both colts are very nice. They both have tremendous talent and a lot of upside. So that's going to be an interesting race within a race.
Nobody has been better in the Sham Stakes than Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. And you can say that about a lot of major stakes, especially on the West Coast. But Bob has won the race a record 4 times. He started in 2001. That was his very first victory in the Sham Stakes when he sent out, how about this name, Wild and Wise. That was the initial running of the Sham, ridden by Victor Espinoza. He came back in 2016 with Collected, his most recent. We'll see if Bob can continue that trend and add to that record. And by the way, Victor Espinoza has won the race 4 times, but he won't be in it this year. He doesn't have a mount in the Sham.
Yeah, somebody missed the boat there, huh?
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
But, yeah, it's a good race. Shiver Me Timbers, West Point Thoroughbreds, and Mark DiDomenico of Rice-A-Roni fame. Those guys have a nice horse in Shiver Me Timbers. He's coming around. He just broke his maiden, but he continues to improve, and I know they're high on him. So it's a really nice race, and somebody's going to walk away with 10 points for the Derby and a bunch of money.
Yeah, good horses, good 3-year-olds in both of those races today. And so that's going to be our poll question of the morning. Here's how it's going to work. You go to @HRRN on Twitter, and you can vote on our poll question. You can do it at Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. And here's the question. Which of today's 2 big 3-year-old stakes races is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby starter? Not the winner, but a starter in the Kentucky Derby. Which one, the Mucho Macho Man or the Sham Stakes at Santa Anita? Which one is it? Well, cast your vote at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, here's what's coming up. We're going to continue our conversation of the newly turned 3-year-olds with Hall of Fame turf writer Steve Haskin, who joins us on the other side of our first commercial break in just about 5 or 6 minutes from right now. Then we're going to talk with Ken Wilkins around 8:37 Eastern time, somewhere in that ballpark. Ken is with Adina Springs, and we like to spend some time telling you about all of the stallions at many of the farms here in the Bluegrass as the breeding shed is getting set to open in just about a month, right around Valentine's Day. So I guess about 6 weeks away from the opening of the breeding season. Ken Wilkins will tell us about all those outstanding Adena stallions. In hour number two, we're going to kick it off with Alex Waldrip, who is the president and CEO of the NTRA. He's going to tell you, and you won't want to miss that interview, because he'll fill you in on some of the new benefits for the horse industry with the new tax plan. We'll talk to Alex about that, 9 o'clock Eastern, and then Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park at 9:25 Eastern time. And in between, Jude and I will spend a little time talking about the Eclipse Awards and some of the categories that might be a bit more wide open than you might expect. That's all ahead. We'll kick it off with Steve Haskin next, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Dak Attack shuffles up to the outside as they run to the top of the stretch. On the outside, Northern Trail moves by and gets the lead. Down the center of the track, a dangerous threat of Dak Attack, who's bearing down on the leader. And Dak Attack overhauling Northern Trail outside the 16th pole. And Dak Attack drawing away in a towering performance. Dak Attack scores in the Ellis Park Juvenile by almost four in the end. Northern Trail was second late on the scene, 10 City, and Orbitron was next in 1:22 and 4/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna and Jude Feld getting you ready for that road to the Kentucky Derby. And, of course, our season begins in earnest with the Pegasus World Cup for the older horses on January 27th. That will be our first live race broadcast of 2018. You can see a complete broadcast schedule, including all of those Derby prep races we'll bring your way. They're all listed on the schedule page of our website at horseracingradio.net. Dak Attack, very impressive in winning the Ellis Park Juvenile in his most recent start. Now, that was back on August 20th. He did not make it to the Breeders' Cup as they had anticipated. He had a bit of a setback, but the three-year-old son of Adina Stallion, Ghost Zapper, has looked very, very good, and he makes his three-year-old debut later today for trainer Dale Romans in that Mucho Macho Man down at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, he's had some holes in his workout pattern as well, but his last three works have been pretty sparkling. He worked 101 and 3 on December the 16th, came back on the 23rd, a week later, 1:04, and then blew out for this race in 59 flat on December the 30th. So, you know, he's been on schedule. If Dale's got him ready, and like we mentioned earlier, it's his first time going a mile. That's a one-turn mile at Gulfstream, as most people know. And we'll see if he's cranked up and ready to roll. It's a race he doesn't have to win, but it'll be interesting to watch him run. He's a beautiful horse and has a lot of upside.
Well, when it comes to talking about the Kentucky Derby picture and the three-year-old division, there is nobody better than Hall of Fame turf rider Steve Haskin. And Steve joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Steve, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy to have you on board and looking forward to talking a little bit of Kentucky Derby here with you and some of those stars that we're going to see over the next couple of months. We threw out a poll question on our Twitter feed this morning, at HRN, and we asked people which of today's two major three-year-old prep races, we'll look at them as those, the Mucho Macho Man or the Sham in Santa Anita, is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby starter. So I'll ask you that question. What do you think? Which one?
The one who has more horses in it.
Well played. Well, let me tell you something.
Let's put it this way: no, you know, if you go by past performances, and you know that that Baffert gets the special ones to the Derby, and it's very rare, except you know when you get like a Mastery or something like that. But even with Mastery, he still winds up getting good horses to the Derby. And he's always been high on McKenzie. So, you know, just on that alone, and he was even though McKenzie got put up in the Los Al Futurity, you know, Baffert was not happy about the results at all. He just didn't like the way it was done, and I think part of him didn't quite like the way the horse ran. Although I thought he ran pretty game for a second start, you know, just pressing the pace and digging in like that, facing much better horses and winners for the first time. But you know, he's always been very high on Baffert's radar screen. So I mean, if McKenzie wins the Sham the way people think he's going to, then he would be the most likely one. But you know, listen, it's not a gimme, because there's several horses in there that we really don't know much about. A couple of them getting blinkers on. One of them was getting blinkers on, who's actually runs three good races, including a good second in the Bob Hope to Gravitos, is Marinho, who is trained by Bob Baffert. So, I mean, what else is new? We just started the year, and he's already all over the place. And it's not like him, really, to run his best horses this early. But obviously, both these horses are ready to go. And Jerry Hollendorfer's got one that looks like he could be good. He just broke his maiden, very, very game performance, called Shiver Me Timbers, who's coming off a head victory. Like I said, a very game race, beating a horse called Peace, who came back and won a very, very strong maiden race about a week ago. And he looks like he could be a real good one. So Shiver Me Timbers is one you have to watch out for. He's already finished third behind McKenzie in a maiden race. So, I mean, it's a very interesting race. Let's put it that way. And then you've got a stakes winner on the grass in there, my boy Jack, who made his debut on the dirt and, you know, didn't fare very well. You know, didn't run horribly, but they put him on the grass for five races, and he's developed into a pretty strong grass horse. He won the Zuma Beach and was only beaten three lengths, even though he was seventh in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. But he's going back on the dirt now. And being by Creative Cause out of a mineshaft mare, he should not have any problem on the dirt, and he's coming off of two pretty strong 6 furlong works on the dirt. So all in all, I think it's a pretty interesting race. And then All Out Blitz, Simon Callahan's horse, is the horse that beat a horse that I liked a lot, is Restoring Hope. who I thought was going to be a good one. And then this horse Peace I was telling you about came back and beat Restoring Hope. But All Out Blitz is owned by Kaleem Shah, and he seems to be getting better. You know, so, I mean, it's an interesting race. If McKenzie can handle this field really well and win by daylight and just look authoritative, then you know, we got something very serious with that horse.
Yeah, he certainly has run two fast races in a row, and looks like he's got a lot of improvement in him still. So Lord knows where he could end up. It's interesting this week, Steve. We had some news on
Bolt Oro.
Yep. And
yeah.
And you know, what's your opinion when horses have little hiccups along the way on the Derby trail? Where do you put them on your list?
Well, it depends on what it is. I mean, I don't like any hiccups. I don't want hiccups. I don't want anything. I don't want horses blowing their nose or anything as trivial as it might sound. What alarms me a bit about Bolt Oro? See, I mean, I've been debating for weeks now who to put on top in the first Derby dozen, either him or Good Magic, and I'm going back and forth. And Good Magic is pretty obvious for him to do what he did and to run two huge races like that on both coasts as maidens in Grade One stakes. I mean, the Breeders' Cup and the way he galloped out, he could be something special. However, the people who favor Bolt Oro point out that he ran, and the trackers ran 78 feet farther in the Breeders' Cup than the winner. And I don't know what Nakatani was thinking. I know he broke from the outside, but he had ample opportunity to tuck in to some degree. But he just kept them to the way out in the middle of the track, and I would say he had to be seven wide going into the first turn. So for him to finish third, I thought was a pretty good effort, although he couldn't catch Salomini for second, although he had, you know, blown him away in the front run of the race before that. So I was going back and forth, and what I liked about Bolt Oro, the main thing I liked about him is that, you know, I've written several columns. I'm a major proponent, and you don't see it anymore, of three-year-olds making their debut in sprint races. If you go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you'll find that every classic winner and every champion back then made their three-year-old debut in a sprint. And John Nayrud I always discussed this with John Nayrud, and he always told me that you want to bring a horse out and sharpen him up, because you don't want to give a horse a succession of two-turn races. By the time you get to the Derby, a lot of these horses are dulled just by running two turns and not getting that sharpener. So what I loved a couple of years ago was when Nyquist and Exaggerator both made their debuts in the San Vicente at 7 furlongs. And they ran 1-2 in that race and ran 1-2 in the Kentucky Derby. So trainers don't do that anymore because the sprint races don't have points and everybody's looking for points. So I admire the horsemen who say, the heck with the points. I want to do what's right for the horse. I'll get the points later on. They have enough faith in their horse that they can do what's right by the horse, which to me is running them in a sprint to start out sharp. And then when you sharpen them up, then you progress into two-turn races and you're ready to peak on Derby Day. Well, Mick Ruiz announced that Bolt Oro was going to make his first start in the San Vicente. And so that really moved him up. And that's what made me really torn on who to put on top, because I've been such a proponent of that, it would be hard for me not to put him on top. Now, although this pulled muscle, you know, was minor, it was serious enough where they had to, you know, change their plans, and they're going to skip to San Vicente now. So that throws a whole monkey wrench, you know, in the whole outlook of the three-year-old picture. Without that, Bolt Oro is just, you know, one of the horses who's going to be debuting at two turns and going to be going into the Derby off of two-turn races. But you have to remember is that, you know, it used to, before the Breeders' Cup, the championship race, the race that decided most two-year-old championships, was the Champagne, which was run around one turn. So the Champagne was the ultimate prep to, you know, for a two-year-old to go into his three-year-old campaign. But now the Breeders' Cup is at two turns, and he had horses, and then he stretched the Remsen out to a mile and an eighth, which to me is way too far for a two-year-old to run, which is why the Remsen has not produced many horses that have done anything in the Derby. And you know what? Neither is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, neither is the Breeders' Futurity, neither is the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. All those two-turn races, horses have come out of there, you know, and have done well in the Derby, but very few have won that race and come back and won the Kentucky Derby. I'm not saying none have, but the ratio is minuscule. So that's why I like when horses debut. I don't mind if you run two turns. If you're a Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner or a Remsen winner, but you come back in a sprint race, and that sharpens you up and just takes some of that dullness away. So with Poldoro now skipping the San Vicente, now I'm probably leaning a bit more towards Good Magic, because I do like the fact that he's won on both coasts, and no two-year-old can claim that.
Steve, what are we hearing on his return? Where might we see his three-year-old debut?
Well, right now it looks like it's probably going to be the Fountain of Youth, but I mean, all these things change. These trainers change. It again, going back, I don't want to sound like an old fogey by going back to the way it used to be, but trainers always kept to schedules. They made their schedules, and that was it. But nowadays, trainers, you know, you'll say, okay, where's he running next? And they'll say, okay, well, he's either going to run in the Fountain of Youth, or he's going to run in the Gotham, or he's going to run the Risen Star, or he's going to run the Tampa Bay Derby, one of those four races. Well, to me, that's not a way to plan out a Derby campaign. And why do they do that? Because they're looking for the easiest place to get points. It's all about points now. It's not about getting to the Derby and winning. It's about getting points, enough points to get to the Derby. And that's why you get a lot of young trainers now who are not used to the Derby trail. They just want to get to the Derby. And the only way you can get to the Derby is to accumulate enough points to get in. So they look for the easiest spot, even if it means they have to ship their horses around the country. They have to go from Florida to New York, or even New York to Florida, which is worse. I don't like horses going from cold weather to hot weather. But that's the way it is now. And now you've got trainers, and Boldoro now is going to be included, who are giving their horse two preps before the Derby. And that was also extremely rare. You never saw that. So he was at least going to get three preps, which I like. And listen, two preps, it's been successful. But so many trainers do it. That's why it is successful. But go take a look and see where those horses are after the Triple Crown. See if you can find them. See how many of them even make the Belmont Stakes, or how many of them make the Travers. Because when you subject a horse to two starts going in the Derby, A, everything has to go perfect. You cannot have, you talk about hiccups, you cannot have the slightest hiccup, because if you miss one of the two races, you're done. If you schedule three races and you miss one, you still can get to the Derby, as we saw last year with Classic Empire. It can be done. You're giving yourself a little leeway, because not everything goes perfectly on the Derby trail, as everyone knows. So that's number one. Everything has to go perfect. But by giving a horse two starts, you can win the Derby off of that. But at some point, the horse is going to hit a brick wall. And they're either going to get injured or they're going to lose form. But that's the way it's been. A lot of the horses with two starts. The only one that hasn't, that continued with his form, was American Pharoah. And, you know, of course, you're going to get an exception when you're dealing with, you know, a truly great horse like that, a Triple Crown winner. But if you look at a lot of the other Derby winners, you'll say, well, whatever happened to that horse? Where were all these Todd Pletcher Florida Derby winners, you know, that won the Florida Derby with two lifetime starts or three lifetime starts? Where are these horses? They're gone. You look at his horses last year. You know, Always Dreaming at least did have a foundation, but unfortunately he came down with ulcers and Taprit, and so he won the Derby and he won the Belmont, and neither of his horses finished the year off. In fact, he only wound up with three horses in the Breeders' Cup, and they were both all three of them were juveniles, two in the juvenile turf, and they were all long shots. So sometimes you got to watch these horses when they start winning these races in January and February by eight lengths, and they get these 98 buyers and stuff. You do not want to see that in January or February. You want to see that in May. You want to see these horses peaking in May. You don't want to see them peaking in January and February.
Yeah, and I think that's a function of the points, too, because you have so many people, the emphasis is on winning to get the most number of points. And so they go all out in these races. In the old days, you know, trainers didn't really care if they won a prep race. They used them as a prep race.
Exactly.
And now they've got to go for the downs every time they put a horse out there.
Right. And, you know, another reason, you know, trainers will tell you, if you tell a trainer, you know, who starts his horse for the first time, he's a three-year-old, well, you know, he's got the Apollo curse. You know, it's 1882, and no horse has won the Derby, you know, who didn't race at three. You know, to put it in perspective, by the way, no horse has won the Derby who hasn't started as a two-year-old since 6 years after Custer's Last Stand. You know, so that's how
Jude was there.
We have to go. Yeah, even those horses had more than two starts. But I'm just saying that. So the trainers will tell you, "Oh, that's a bunch of bunk." You know, how many horses have tried? You know, which is true. Not many horses, you know, have tried, have gotten to the Derby who didn't race as a 2 year old. But if you go through the years, I mean, that's a long way to go. I mean, 1882. We're not talking about 40, 50, 60 years. We're talking about a long, long time. So what's happening now is, if you look, you know, a lot of good horses made their debuts in the last 2 weeks in December. We saw some really good maiden races. And trainers will tell you that if they can't get a race into their horse as a two-year-old, then the Apollo curse is absolute garbage. but watch these trainers trying desperately to get these horses a race in. Which we saw a few weeks ago. One of those being that horse Peace I was telling you about, who's trained by Dick Mandela. You know, Peace broke his maiden on December 30th.
Yeah, how about Axeman? Axeman was January 1st. He's dead. He can't run in the Derby.
No, yeah, well, that's it. Scott will tell you. What's the difference? Oh, what's the difference if he wins January 1st or December 31st? Well, it's a difference of one day, but it's a difference of Apollo curse and no Apollo curse. I believe in it. One of these days, one of these years, it's going to happen. You know, we had a horse called Strike Power that everybody's talking about. That Mark Hennig saddle that was in late December. We had a bunch of others at Gulfstream. We had several other horses that looked really good breaking their maidens or winning allowance races. So I mean, look, one of these, like I said, one of these years, it's going to happen. But until then, it's interesting.
Well, we know how great Curlin was, right? And Curlin couldn't do it. Right.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, everybody said, "Oh, yeah. Well, look at, you know, Curlin ran a great race in the Derby. Well, yeah, he got beat 8 lengths, and then he comes back and he wins the Preakness. So that there is something to it. And Curlin was about as brilliant as you could get. His first three starts were all three runaway victories. Nobody came close to him. Of course, I do have to say, by the way, that Curlin did not get the best of trips. In fact, Curlin, if you watch that race, Curlin was going, Alvarado saw a hole on the rail and started to go towards the rail, but one of Paul Redham's horses came off the rail, prevented him from getting there, and who took that spot that he vacated? Street Sense. So it all depends on luck as well, on who gets the break and who gets the run to the hole first. We saw it with Shoemaker and Ferdinand, who beat Pat Day in Rampage to a hole along the rail in the 86 Derby, and then Ferdinand went on to win, and Rampage closed like crazy after that. But so it turns out Rampage was not nearly as good as Ferdinand. But you'll see it all the time with horses. But Jerry Bailey was a master at being able to hit the hole first, because when those holes open in the Derby, you better be the first one through it, because if you're not, you got to, you know, gear down on your horse, good luck trying to get him going again in the 20-horse field.
There's nobody better. He's Hall of Fame turf writer Steve Haskin, a Hall of Fame radio guest, too, and he's been with us here for the past little bit on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can follow him all the way down that road to the Kentucky Derby with his columns and blog posts all at bloodhorse.com. Haskins.com. It's called Hanging with Haskins, so make sure you do that. And, Steve, really appreciate the time here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We will get that to you.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
Great. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you guys, too. Take care.
All right. Steve Haskin here on HRRN. How good is that guy?
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
Well, and he's great with the historical perspectives. And, you know, he's been covering racing a long time, and he is on top of this three-year-old picture each and every year. And nobody better than Steve Haskin when it comes to talking about the three-year-olds.
Yeah, I was so happy to hear him talk about the sprint prep and the San Vicente, because the only Derby horse I had, he had his first start of the year in the San Vicente. So
it brings up a great point about the points involved with getting to the Kentucky Derby. And that has changed the whole dynamic as to how horses are trained and brought up to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, it's a whole new kettle of fish, because everybody has to get those points if they want to get in. I mean, our man Nick Zito, you worry about the points.
Yeah, the earnings. That was when it was still earnings back then, you remember?
Yeah. Well, it was earnings. It was the first year of points.
Oh, that's right. It was, wasn't it? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, but the points are important, I guess, if you want to get in, but It seems foreign to me to plan your Derby schedule around the points. I think you should plan it around your horse, but, you know, I am a throwback to
But he brought up the great point about Nyquist era. And Doug O'Neill, and starting off at 7/8 of a mile, didn't have points in that race, the San Vicente. He knew that if all went well, he was going to get his points.
Right.
You know, he knew this horse. He had confidence in the horse.
Shouldn't the mindset be, if you're good enough, you're going to win one of those preps?
Right. Should
and get into the Derby. Yep. I mean, that to me would be the mindset to take as
even
a trainer.
Even if you're second in one of those prep races, it's 40 points for second, right? It's 100. I'm talking about the big prep races like the Florida Derby. 100 for first and 40 for second. 40 gets you into the Kentucky Derby,
right?
So all you have to do is be second,
right,
in one of those preps. Yeah. I say all you have to do.
Yeah, and like Steve Haskin said, you know, nothing goes perfect on the Derby trail. You have to, you know, plan ahead, so that you know if this race doesn't go the way it's planned, because it might not even be your horse. We've talked about this before. You know, somebody may stop in front of you, or a horse may bolt on the turn or whatever, and the race is not good for your horse.
Yep.
That you have no control over. Your horse might be perfect, but it's the unforeseen circumstances that can get to you. So having the three preps, and I think that's a very good point that he made about the horses that fall off. Because you run two races and then go a mile and a quarter, you have to be exceptional. And then if you win the Derby off of those two preps, there can't be much left in the tank.
No, there can't be. All right, this is typically the time where we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story. But in deference to all of our guests that we have coming on the show this morning, we want to make sure we leave enough time. So we're going to bypass the story, but we will have a word for the Lexus store of Lexington and your home for a new or pre-owned vehicle. If you're in the horse business, they have been doing it a long, long time, and we've been telling you about it on this program for a long time. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned, you go see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano. You go see everybody at the Lexus store of Lexington. They will cater to you if you're in the horse business. I promise you that. You go see them on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll get to a short break. When we come back, it's going to be our Stallion Spotlight segment. We'll do that with Ken Wilkins from Edina Springs.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry. A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Farmer's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Macho Uno! Macho Uno coming on to take the lead.
Point of Entry's taking the lead! Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom!
A wild finish to the classic! Awesome again has won!
It knows and knows to the wire! Fort Lauded has won it!
And Gold Snapper is pulling away!
Macho! Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mike Pena, Jude Feld here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, broadcasting from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Really fun visit with Steve Haskin in the previous segment, and now looking forward to our Stallion Spotlight segment. And if you couldn't tell, those race clips coming out of the commercial break, all focusing on the Stallions at Adina Springs. And boy, have they been good. You think back on so many of those moments that you just heard. The Adina Stallions have been part of so many of the top moments we've seen in thoroughbred racing for a long, long time. And we need to welcome Ken Wilkins, our next special guest to the program here this morning. Ken is with Adina Springs and looking forward to this visit coming up in the next segment. Ken, welcome, my friend. Happy New Year.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Happy to have you on board and looking forward to talking about some of these stallions. I guess we're only, 6 weeks or so away from the start of the breeding season?
It will be here before we know it. Well, first foals are already hitting the ground, so it's time.
How exciting is that when you start seeing the first foals start to drop?
Oh, it's what we work all year for, and it's like, okay, what did we get? You know, all your planning, all your analyzing, all your mating analysis, and you're like, okay, what do we got? And it's exciting. It really is. So, hey, guys, I thought we'd start by really should have mentioned the fantastic award that the Eclipse Award of Merit that Frank Stronach is receiving here later this month. And, you know, it just occurred to me that if it wasn't for him and his passion and his efforts and resources, we wouldn't have much to talk about on this show, would we?
Yeah, he's really stepped up to the plate, puts his money where his mouth is, and he's been very innovative in our business. A lot of great things have come from him, and if anybody deserves an award of merit, it's him. He really always tries to put his best foot forward, and he backs it up with his cash, and you can't beat that.
Yeah, no, it's just been a real honor to be able to be part of his team and try to keep the ball rolling and you know, it's his fingerprints are all over racing, and it's certainly all over the stallions there. Many of those came right out of his breeding and race program. So it's just it's been really it's been an honor to be in here and part of it, and it's exciting. I mean, we've got exciting things happening. We got young stallions. We're expanding into new markets. Into California, and it's just you know, usually they give those type awards to guys that are kind of easing down at the wire, and I'm telling you, you talk to Frank for 2 minutes and it's just like he is after it. He's still very, very strong and very after it, and buying green bananas and reinventing the wheel, and I mean it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, his passion is contagious, and quite often his vision is met with, well, a little bit of kickback. Like, and I'm thinking about Gulfstream Park when he had the vision to tear down the old Gulfstream and rebuild it and,
oh God, yeah.
And create the whole complex that it is now with shopping and entertainment. And, you know, I was reluctant to the idea at first, and I couldn't really see the vision until now. It's all come together, and you go, wow, that, yeah. You know, he's just so far ahead of people sometimes. And he certainly was on that idea.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, but yeah, we're just getting ready for he'll be making an announcement here probably within the week on where he's going to be standing, Shaman Ghost, and you know, all of that is. I mean, look, he's a horse that could stand here in Kentucky, and I could have him full and have a really, really, really good opportunity for him. But he's committed to help California, and part of what he's going to do out there is along with the initiatives he's doing at the track, he wants to support the breeders, the small breeders, and he wants to offer them some nice breeding options out there. So it's a big commitment to take Shaman Ghost out there, and it's exciting, and the breeders have already responded. I've already got a stack of mares to go through, it's a big commitment for Frank to do this. If I was a breeder, small breeder out in California, I'd be excited. I mean, he's probably the best stallion to go out there directly to stud with his credentials that we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, and it's that forward thinking. I mean, you know, he puts it all together. He owns the racetracks. You know, why not create some really good horses to run at his racetracks?
And exactly.
It makes total sense when you think about it, but a lot of people don't look at it that way. And, of course, you know, his bankroll gives him the opportunity to do some things that other people can't do. You know, it's a really great thing that he is such a big picture guy that he finds these opportunities and creates these opportunities for himself and for other people. So
absolutely,
you know, that's really cool. You got to be excited too. You got one in the Mucho Macho Man today by Nadina Stallion.
Dak Attack, baby. Dak Attack. So
look, he hopped right on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put that one on a tee.
You know, last year, Ghost Zapper, who's just been an absolute phenom. I mean, he's turned into the sire that we all thought that he could be, obviously. And, you know, this time last year, you guys were talking about a couple horses on the Derby Trail, McCracken and Iliad. And this year, hopefully he'll get into the mix there, and Haskins will be talking about him next week. So, you know, it's exciting. He just, you know, he's one of those sires that, you know, reminds me very much of Malibu Moon, who I was involved with for quite a few years. I mean, he just keeps coming with good ones, just keeps coming with them. And, you know, it's just the year he had this year was phenomenal, you know. Shaman Ghost, obviously, grade one winner this year. Paula Silver Lining and so many others. A couple of two-year-old stakes winners. And just, I mean, at every class he had a star, didn't he?
Yeah, just unbelievable. He's really been outstanding, especially in the past several years. Talking with Ken Wilkins from Adena Springs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ken, you mentioned some of the young stallions, and names like Mucho Macho Man and Point of Entry come to mind. Talk to me about them for a minute.
Sure. No, Mucho Macho Man is, I couldn't be more thrilled with this horse. I mean, he's a big, grand-looking horse, and, you know, he's passed the first hurdle that all stallions have, and they were accepted at the sales and sold well. So they looked the part. He had over seven horses that sold for six figures or better, and so that's the first hurdle. And then the second hurdle, we're going to find out here before too long. These things are being broke, and we'll see some hopefully at the two-year-old sales early on. And he has a real, real opportunity to be a good sire. I mean, he obviously went on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is kind of a hallmark of Adina. But people forget this horse was a pretty terrific two-year-old. You know, he was a June foal. And he was graded place twice as a two-year-old. And actually, I think that he was the youngest, chronologically, the youngest horse to compete in all three legs of the Triple Crown. So he has a real chance to get out of the box fast and have a nice mark with his two-year-olds. But you know, if they run to him, he's going to be a terrific sire as well. So very excited about Mucho Macho Man. And in Point of Entry, gosh, he's, you know, all these stallions have different perceptions, and nobody would expect it. You know, if we'd been talking about him last year, we wouldn't be saying, okay, yeah, we expect Point of Entry to be like Overanalyze or Violence and, you know, have 30 winners and that kind of thing. You just wouldn't expect him to be an early precocious type of sire, but he's overachieved. You know, he had 11 winners. He had a graded winner and another stakes winner, another stakes placed horse. He's off to a fantastic start. And I don't know, you guys are the experts, but Analyze It might be one of the best two-year-old colts on turf in the country right now.
Yeah, he's a fantastic horse, and he really came on late in the year, Point of Entry. I mean, he's really kicked it in the last couple of months.
Yeah, if he could have been a week earlier, you know, he won that race at Del Mar in a better time than the Breeders' Cup winner. It was like, oh, man, if we'd have been a week earlier, we could have had a Breeders' Cup winner, which would have been fantastic. So I think Chad's pointing him. I think he was trying to point him to the Belmont Derby Invitational, right? Is that the July? I think that's what they're heading towards. He hinted that he might, you know, tickle his toes on the dirt to see if he could transition over. But I haven't heard anything more on that with that colt. But he's you know, I'm biased obviously, but that was a pretty sexy performance, I thought.
He's Ken Wilkins. He's Ken Wilkins. He is with Adina Springs, joining us here on the Equine Forum. And we'll encourage you to go to adinastallions.com to learn more about Point of Entry, Mucho Macho Man, Ghost Zapper, and all of the stallions at Adina. They are really on a roll. And, Ken, you guys have things moving in the right direction. So keep it rolling, my friend, and we will look forward to seeing more top runners from the Adina Stallions soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time, guys.
All right, buddy. Ken Wilkins here on HRN. Yeah, they have just been unbelievable. And what he said about Frank Stronach, I think, was spot on. And what your comment about him being somewhat of a visionary, right, and looking at the big picture that a lot of times people don't see. I didn't see the vision with Gulfstream Park when it looked like an Erector set. Right?
Yeah, well, I'm a big picture guy too, ordinarily, but I didn't see the vision. And no. I was a little bit peeved because I loved the old Gulfstream.
Right.
But, you know, you and I know now how great it is to be there, how beautiful the facility is, that it's open almost 24 hours a day, that there's always people there, there's always something going on,
yep.
And that the actual mall and restaurants and stuff, they actually do bring people to the races. We've seen that in action. We've talked to people. We've overheard conversations that, you know, the husband goes to the mall with the wife and then finds out it's Florida Derby Day and he goes, come on, let's go watch the Florida Derby. Those are the kind of things that make Gulfstream what it is. And it's a great concept, and it's a beautiful place, an enjoyable place to be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. right, a busy second half of the show is coming up. It kicks off with Alex Waldrip, the president and CEO of the NTRA. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the 2018 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of six of his first seven starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
Power. Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile fully stretched, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Derek Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and classic-placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop since returning from Japan are now weanlings and have sold for up to $425,000. Boasting excellent fertility, his 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Never gets old hearing that call of Secretariat pulling off the Triple Crown and winning the 1973 Belmont Stakes. Of course, Secretariat, owned by the late Penny Chenery, who passed away in September at the age of 95. And Penny Chenery and her legacy, and that passing of Penny Chenery, one of the signature moments of 2017 and one of the moments that you can vote on at NTRA.com and on the NTRA Twitter feed. They have several selections for the NTRA Moment of the Year, 13 of the most memorable and moving moments of 2017. You can go there now and you can vote. And we're going to talk to Alex Waldrip, the president and CEO of the NTRA, in just a few minutes. And we'll talk to him about some of those choices that you'll have to vote on. We'll also talk to him about some of the benefits to the horse industry with the new tax regulations as well. So Alex will fill you in coming up shortly. Jude, speaking of people that have been lost, it has really been a difficult month or so for the thoroughbred industry. You think back to Hall of Famer Leroy Jolly and Jack Van Berg, who recently passed away, and then Dick Enberg, who was so instrumental in all of his work on the media side of things with the Breeders' Cup and with thoroughbred racing. And coming out this week that Eddie Gaudette had passed away at the age of 87. And certainly our thoughts and prayers going out to his entire family. It's always tough, especially around the holidays, but anytime. And our thoughts, our prayers going out to the entire Gaudette family.
Yeah, he was an icon and someone highly respected as a trainer, and of course a great Philly sire. His two daughters are outstanding, Gabby and Lacey.
Yep.
And so you know, it's one of those things. I mean, he was 87 years old. He had a lot of health problems and
Alzheimer's, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So
miserable disease.
Yeah, it's horrible. And so you know, these people. None of them were, young. They were all, you know, very, very advanced age. So I don't even buy green bananas.
so don't start.
It was a tremendous shock to lose any of them because of their advanced age. But you know, there's a lot of great memories associated with
yep.
with these people. And you know, a lady like Penny Chinnery who put women in the spotlight as a horse owner, as someone that's important to our sport. And, you know, later on, Mrs. Ginter. I mean, these ladies, you know, showed that women can participate on an equal playing field with men, and that, you know, it's not just a bunch of old guys spitting tobacco juice around that. The with manure on their shoes.
Yep.
You know, it's they're pioneers, you know.
Yep. Yeah, well said. All right, we're going to get ready. It's hour number 2 coming up next. We'll kick it off with Alex Waldrip, and we'll tell you about the entire second half of the show right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging, but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic. Back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate rops in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Bolt Toro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Equine Forum rolling on this Saturday morning, a chilly morning here in the heart of the Bluegrass. Mike Penna, Baron in the backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick 4, our producer Lee Delapina, and Chauncey, Sean C., handling all of our social media this morning. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Fun first half of the program. Great visit with Steve Haskin, talking about the 3-year-old picture and the Kentucky Derby prospects. And then Ken Wilkins from Edina Springs took the time to join us to preview their stallion roster and some great comments on the man who heads up Edina Springs and the Stronach Group, Frank Stronach, who is going to be honored later this month at the Eclipse Awards with the Eclipse Award of Merit, and a great selection to have Frank Stronach honored in that manner. Our poll question of the morning, you can vote at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and here it is. Which of today's two big 3-year-old stakes races is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby starter? Not the winner, but a starter in this year's Kentucky Derby. You have the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream Park. You have the Sham out at Santa Anita in California. And currently, it's close, but currently the Sham is the one winning this voting, 55% to 45%. You can go weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. No surprises there, though, JT, is there?
Not really, but yeah. I mean, it's not a runaway. I mean, I think people are aware of the fact that there's some really nice horses in the Mucho Macho Man, including Dak Attack and Mask. And, you know, we still don't know about some of the other ones. They're trying a mile for the first time. So it's going to be – I think it's a fun day to have these two races. And, you know, it's going to definitely affect the list. We know it's going to affect the points list. We can expect our email from Darren Rogers at the end of the day. I do enjoy those emails that he sends with the points on them. You know, very interesting. And of course, when those come out, then I update my list. And so it's a lot of fun. It's a great time of year.
119 days, 7 hours, 50 minutes, and 42 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, Saturday, May 5th at Churchill Downs. We will be there as your exclusive radio network of the Kentucky Derby in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. You'll hear all that coverage coast to coast and worldwide here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Alex Waldrip is the president and CEO of the NTRA. It is a busy month for the NTRA, and mainly because of the Eclipse Awards down in Florida. You have the NHC, which comes up in early February in Las Vegas. And then you have some information that came out just a short time ago with the new tax plan and some of the benefits to the horse industry. So Alex is here to fill us in on all of that. Alex, Happy New Year. Good morning.
Great to be with you, Mike, and Jude, Happy New Year to you and your listeners as well.
Yeah, what a year for the NTRA. You know, we talked earlier, you joined us about a month or so ago, and you talked about the withholdings and some of the things that the NTRA has accomplished legislatively on that front, which has really benefited horse players. And now we take a look at the new tax plan, and there are some distinct benefits to the horse industry there as well.
That's right, Mike. The industry has had a great year. The NTRA is made up of most of the major owners, breeders, trainers, tracks. TVG is part of this. We have a broad base of membership, and so when the NTRA wins, it's because the industry is winning. The tax bill is a great example of that. Lots of the provisions in the tax bill are things that generally apply, but you got to look at bonus depreciation, which basically gives the right to depreciate new and used property now. Anything acquired after September 27th and 2017, this means owners, tracks, farms can take new or used equipment and essentially depreciate it 100% in the year of acquisition. That's a huge benefit because capital assets that you acquire generally have to be depreciated over a 3, 5, maybe 10-year period, and this gives you a chance to shelter income in the year of acquisition. Similar to that is we call this Section 179 deduction. It's an expensing allowance. It is capped at $1 million for new and used property, and it goes up to $2.5 million now. The two are somewhat overlapping, and they're fairly complicated. I won't go into all the details, but I think it's fair to say that those are huge wins. It's certainly, for the short term, the bonus depreciation will only last through 2022. To the 2022, the 179 deduction provisions are permanent. You also have passive entity income that's going to be treated differently. This is so complicated, we don't have time to go into it this morning. If you are in the business and you're doing business as a sole proprietor or as an LLC or some passive entity or entity that really ignores the corporate level and taxes you at your personal level, see a tax advisor. This is more complicated then, frankly, I can even explain in an hour. And it's so personal, to individual to people's circumstances. Always, always, always call your tax lawyer or tax accountant. I can't stress that enough. There's so many complications in this bill. Yes, it did simplify. It did drop corporate rates significantly. If you're a C-Corp, a standard corporation, some of the big tracks and breeding farmers are in that category. They'll see huge tax savings. But by and large, you need to be looking at the entities that you choose and the relationship between the entities. You may have multiple entities that you do business in, and that may not be the best way to do things now because the combining entities allows you to take full advantage of some of the depreciation and accelerated depreciation and the expense allowance that we talked about earlier. One thing we did look at, and we're we tried our best, and frankly, we defended the ability of gamblers to deduct their losses. There was a move that tried to eliminate that. It was primarily a punitive move. It was viewed as an easy grab of revenue, and we pushed back on that hard. They did limit that deduction if you're a professional gambler, which is someone who can argue successfully that you're in the trade or business of gambling, and that's not easy to do. There are not that many people who can do that. You now have your losses, including expenses for things like travel, lodging. Those folks know who they are because they're already deducting those expenses. They're going to be limited by their winnings as well. So it's not a huge factor for the vast majority of horse players out there, but it is something where we were able to salvage the bigger issue, which was the ability to deduct losses against gambling winnings. There's a elimination of the ability to deduct business expenses, entertainment expenses. That's could be an issue for some equine businesses. We wanted to get the 2-year depreciation, I'm sorry, the 2-year holding period for capital gains to 1. That didn't work out. So there's still work to be done. But by and large, this is a great tax bill. And for the vast majority of people in the industry, there will be the good consequences. And at worst, it will be business as usual.
If I can deduct losses, JT, I just deduct every wager. At least it feels that way sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna say no comment.
Yeah, my challenge is I don't have the winnings to even deduct the losses again.
Right, exactly.
I think, well, Mike's the king of making the four-horse trifecta box that pays less than the bet, so.
Yeah, bet 24 to get back 22. Talking with Alex Waldrop, the president and CEO of the NTRA here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Alex, in addition to those incentives and those initiatives that the NTRA has really worked hard to make better for the horse industry and beneficial for the horse industry, you're also looking ahead to the Eclipse Awards coming up on January 25th at Gulfstream Park. And, boy, what a night that is going to be. It always is special.
We're looking forward to it, as usual. 17 winners in the horse and human categories. You mentioned earlier Frank Stronach is going to receive the Eclipse Award of Merit. There may be a couple of special awards yet to be announced. Always look forward to the Horse of the Year the announcement and also the Eclipse Award for the 2017 Horse Player of the Year, Ray Arsenault. That's an important part of the event. Oh, and I can't forget the six categories for the media categories, outstanding coverage. We always want to reward the media for covering our business, and that's part of what we do. There's still lots of seats available. It's going to be, once again, at Gulfstream Park, at their beautiful facility down there. The Stronach Group does a great job of hosting us. Tables are available. Tickets are $425 apiece, $4,000 for a table. Go to our website, ntra.com, under the Eclipse Awards section, and you can get all the information you need. Contact Casey Hamilton at 422-2627. She is, I'm not sure if she's there today, but she's there during the week, and she's always available to help and answer your questions.
Yeah, Nick Luck is going to be hosting the event this year, correct?
That's right. Nick was coming in town, for the Pegasus on Saturday, which is a plus as well this year. It's a buy one, get two. If you come to the Eclipse Awards on Thursday, you stick around for the Pegasus on Saturday. Nick is coming in town early to host our event and then to also be on television. He's been hugely popular. I know he did a great job earlier this year for NBC. He's always a favorite. And we've received so much positive input about Nick's involvement, and I'm looking forward to meeting him and to working with him.
Well, of course, then we have the NHC that comes up in February 9th to the 11th this year, and of course presented by RTN, Stats Racelens, and Treasure Island. Should be a very special event there, and that will determine the 2018 Handicapper of the Year, right?
That's exactly what we do. You know, we give away more than $3 million in prize money. We pay back about 10% of those who make it to Las Vegas. And usually that's, we're looking at probably 625 to 650 entries this year. Of that number, roughly 10% get a check, total $3 million plus. That number still is in flux a little bit because we've got some tournaments, including some today, that we're going to be deciding. I think today we decide the winner of the NHC Tour, which is always important. And there's a separate prize for the Tour Player of the Year as well. And so we'll be watching that later today. But, yeah, the NHC is always a lot of fun. I tell people if you want to capture the real enthusiasm of this business, you got to go to the racetrack and see the winning owners and the way they react. That's always gratifying to see how much people love the business on that end. But also come watch horse players and see the way they follow this game. They watch and they wager, so they care passionately about winners and losers and how we conduct this sport. And it's on full display for three full days at the NHC. And I can tell you it restores my faith every year in this business to see how passionate they are about the business and how much knowledge they have and the time that they spend and the investment that they make in this business. And truly, without the horse player, this business would not be what it is. Steve Crist always says we'd be handing out ribbons to winning owners, and there's some truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. So we use this as an opportunity to celebrate the horse player, to celebrate the man or woman who every day show up at the racetrack, put their money through the windows, and vote with their dollars to tell us where we need to be as an industry. And so we celebrate, we reward, we use this as our way to say thank you and to single out that one person, man or woman, who truly is on that day the handicapper of the year.
Yeah, it's such a tough thing to do, to win a tournament, and some of these people win multiple tournaments, and the NHC has really put a spotlight on how the average person can enjoy thoroughbred racing at their own level.
Yeah, and dude, the thing we find is that so many horse players become horse owners. There's such a crossover between the two populations, if you will. About 20% of those who are at the NHC are horse owners themselves. And that's one of the things we have to deal with, because we have, more often than not, than you can imagine, we have horse players who have to come up and say, I own a horse in this race that's in one of your mandatory races. What do I do? And we have to make allowances for that, because there are people, so many of these players own horses. And back to the point, I think many of us believe that without owners and horse players, we wouldn't have a business. And the overlap between the two is never more clear to me than on NHC at the contest in Las Vegas. So it's a great way to create new owners. It's get them involved in wagering on the game, and they become owners. They buy horses. It's a great way to build new fans, to build new owners, to build a business.
Speaking of the fans, Alex, many fans are going to NTRA.com and to the NTRA Twitter feed to vote on the NTRA Moment of the Year. There are 13 choices. Jude and I touched on this at the end of the first half of the program today. The passing of Penny Chenery is one of those 13. You have the passing of Jack Van Berg is another choice. And then several top moments in terms of the racing side of things, too, with Aerogate and Gunrunner and Cloud Computing and Always Dreaming, a plethora of choices. And I'm going to tell you, it is hard to boil it down to just one moment of 2017.
Lots of moments. And sometimes people are confused. They think of the moment being the highlight. What we're really looking at are those moments that are the most impactful for the industry. And certainly the passing away of Penny, Jack Van Berg, those are not highlights, but those are important moments. Those are important times for us to pause and reflect on the impact that they had on the game. You know, one of the other sections that's in there, the 46 horses that perished at Sandy Louis Ray Downs,
yep.
Another horrible tragedy. But it's got to be up there in consideration of, you know, what impacted this industry the most. I do notice that the change in the reporting withholding rules make it into the list as well. There again, that's one of those things that has long-lasting, long-term impact. How it will fare in this, we'll have to wait and see. It's there alongside all those other many moments that we list. It's going to be a tough one this year. Now, we do this because we want the fans to have a chance to vote and to have their say. Sometimes people are frustrated that the Eclipse Awards are decided by a group of media and racing secretaries and others who are very close to the game. This gives the fans a chance to have their say, and we hope that they'll take that opportunity to give us their input and let their voices be heard.
Alex, considering all of the great things that the NTRA and the industry was able to accomplish in 2017, what on earth are you going to do for an encore here in 2018?
Well, that's a very good question. We've got unfinished business. We've got some tax issues we've got to deal with. I won't bore you with those details. Probably the biggest issue that we've got to tackle, address, be prepared for in 2018 is the probable overturn of the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, which means we could be dealing with widespread sports gambling at casinos and other venues, including racetracks across the country. Now, the Supreme Court took up the Monmouth Park, New Jersey legislation, which allows for sports gambling at Monmouth Park and at casinos in New Jersey. And to the surprise of many, A, they took it up, and B, in the oral arguments, made it clear that they were going to do something. They were not going to let PASPA remain unchanged. And whether it's a limited repeal, which means Monmouth Park and New Jersey can go forward, or a full repeal, which means it's open season, and you can see sports gambling as ubiquitous as casino gambling across the country. That's an issue for the horse industry, and that's one we've already begun talking about. We've been talking with horsemen, tracks, and others about how to prepare for this. We're making sure that they have the political acumen at the state level to make sure if there's a bill at play, and there are at several places like New York and Maryland, California has a bill, Pennsylvania as well. In fact, Pennsylvania already has a bill in place. The states like that need to be prepared to act quickly. The horsemen, the tracks in those states need to be prepared to be part of the conversation, to be at the table. The NTRA will be at the table at the federal level. We have ongoing dialogues with the American Gaming Association, with other entities, to make sure that if there's a federal bill, well, there actually is a federal bill. The congressman from New Jersey, whose name just went off the top of my head, Frank, it'll come to me later. He has filed a bill that will provide for a federal framework for sports gambling should the PASPA be overturned by the Supreme Court. All those things are real. We've got to be ready for that. We've already begun working on that, and that presents huge challenges on the competitive side, but also great opportunities if racetracks and horsemen take advantage and use it as a way to get a new form of gambling into their facilities. Because let's face it, horse racing, in some ways at its base, is the original sports betting. And so working at competition, but also opportunity. So how we deal with that this time next year, we'll be talking about that. And I predict it will be probably the single most important. It will be probably right up there on the top of the list of NTRA moments of the year. The decision that's handed down by the Supreme Court, we expect in May or June. So stay tuned, fingers crossed, we're working hard, making sure that we're all on top of the sports betting issue.
Yeah, we'll look forward to talking about those issues and many more with Alex Waldrop in 2018. Alex, like all of our guests who appear on this program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Alex, appreciate the time, my friend. Again, happy new year, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great new year, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Alex Waldrop here on HRRN. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, we will visit with Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park as he gets you set for a very busy afternoon in South Florida, and he'll look ahead to the Pegasus World Cup. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Fans, come join us for great racing and good times at the Great Race Place. And please take note, effective immediately, Santa Anita now offers fans free parking and admission for simulcast wagering each Wednesday. Serona Sports Bar and the Paddock Room are now open on Wednesdays for wagering and food and beverage service. Be here Saturday as we start down the road to the Kentucky Derby with the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at a Flat Mile, and older horses take center stage Saturday in the Grade 2 San Gabriel at a mile and one-eighth on turf. First post time is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
We've watched him develop into a racehorse.
Into mischief wins the cup, call futility.
Into a sire.
Golden Sensei, scintillating performance.
It is practical joke in the Allen Jerkins.
Into a leader. The leading two-year-old and three-year-old sire of 2017. Into mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Halle Bell and Robbie Alvarado continues to hold on to this lead close to home. From a game into summer, sensitive late on the scene, it's Halle Bell. Halle Bell to win the Pegohop Stakes.
Halle Bell held off all challengers to win the Pegohop Stakes at the fairgrounds on December 30th while recording her third consecutive victory, making the Godolphin Color Bearer your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at three and the best three-year-old filly since the 1970s. Halle Bell became Medaglia d'Oro's 16th black type winner of 2017, and Medaglia d'Oro was North America's leading sire by Grade 1 winners last year with seven. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
My name is Abel Lescanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
California Chrome not gaining. He's back wide and racing in fifth. Shaman Ghost splits horses for Jose Ortiz, and they're into the stretch. And it's the Breeders' Cup winner. It's Arrogate in front, leading by three with an eighth of a mile to go. Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second. Then Neolithic. Back fourth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5 while confidently handled. Shaman goes second, Neolithic third, then Keen Ice, War Story, and Noble Bird in 1:47.3.
Pete Aiello with the call of last year's Pegasus World Cup. It was one of the moments of the year. We were there to bring you that coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Live from Gulfstream Park, Arrogate defeating California Chrome and everybody else. We are 3 weeks away from this year's Pegasus World Cup, and we'll once again be back there in South Florida to bring you that exclusive radio coverage coast to coast and worldwide. So make sure you join us Saturday, January 27th, as we kick off our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. We'll bring you live coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes races, January 27th, all the way through the Florida Derby at the end of March. Each and every Saturday, you'll catch those races exclusively with us here on the network. We're going to visit with Mike Nyman from Gulfstream coming up momentarily, but before we do, we want to bring you our Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. And here's one for you, and this is something that Gulfstream certainly has played a role in. Handle on U.S. races improves for the third straight year. The industry's economic indicators for 2017 suggest changes to tax rules regarding withholding and reporting of large parimutuel winnings, which helped fuel a handle increase. And because the change didn't make its impact until late in the year, greater handle growth should be expected in 2018. Total handle on United States races in 2017 improved 1.59% to more than $10.9 billion, marking the biggest year-to-year percentage increase in handle in 16 years. It's the third straight year that handle has increased. Don't forget, when you go to Blood Horse, you can pick up the 2018 Blood Horse calendars. They're the perfect gift for any horse lover. This 13-month wall calendar features a full calendar page and photograph of each month or for each month. It's the gift you'll enjoy and use every day. Visit shop.bloodhorse.com to order yours today. Mike Pettingfeld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios here in the heart of the Bluegrass. Mike Nyman is several miles south in Hallandale Beach, Florida at Gulfstream Park, and Mike is kind enough to spend a little time with us here this morning. Mike, Happy New Year. Welcome, my friend.
Hey, Happy New Year to everybody up there. Staying warm?
No.
It's 5 degrees.
Okay, I won't rub it in too much.
Wait, now it's not all that warm in South Florida, is it, Mike?
Well, compared to where you are, I would say it's like a heat wave here, you know?
Yeah, it's only 11 times warmer there right now.
Well, the other day, you know, I was walking around, I was in the simulcasting room, and it was probably in the 50s, and everybody was freezing and shivering, and I just had to turn around and say, come on, let's be real. We're in the warmest place in the whole country.
Yeah, it's only going to get hotter today, too, with that $1.1 million carryover in the Rainbow Six.
No doubt about it. Everybody's all over that. That's all they've been talking about the last couple of days. So, you know, definitely want to be a part of that today. We're expecting a huge addition to the pool, so you might be seeing something close to $2 million today.
Wow. When's the next mandatory payout?
That hasn't been decided yet. The only thing that we're mandated by is that at the end of the meet, the last day, they have to pay it out. Sometimes, as you guys are aware, the track will make a decision at some point to go ahead and do a mandatory payout, and they haven't announced anything about that right now. So it's hard to say, but let's see what happens and how it rolls out for the next few weeks and then coming into the Pegasus weekend.
Mike, I just read that headline about the handle on U.S. races increasing in 2017, and I mentioned the fact that Gulfstream has played a major role in that, and it seems like you and I have talked about this the past several years. Every year we're talking about a handle increase at Gulfstream Park. What's the secret? What's the key?
Just, I would say, you know, to start off with, it's just a very, very good product. You know, Gulfstream Park is, since, you know, Tim took over when I came in 7 years ago, you know, just you see a lot of full fields, a lot of grass racing. You know, it just seems to be something that what the customers are looking for, and that's what they're playing. You know, we're one track on a menu, and it seems to be working out very well. And it's no different to start off this week. We've already seen, you know, huge increases over last year already. And, you know, our opening day was huge. And, of course, the Caribbean Classic Day was very, very successful, huge crowd. And we just continue to, you know, look for new ways to promote the business, bring new customers in, and Gulfstream's been very successful at that, and no doubt our brand has become one of the strongest in thoroughbred racing.
I know, you know, you never wish bad weather on anybody or any racetrack. You want everybody to be in action all the time, but when you have tracks like New York closing for 4 days and people come over and see your signal, that's got to help you a lot when they find out that there's full fields and turf racing and races that they can bet on that maybe they wouldn't ordinarily see otherwise.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, our winter signal is the strongest. definitely, you know, having the better weather here. The 7 years that I've been here, you know, we've had really very few days that I can tell you that, you know, weather has been a major effect on our business. Overall, we've been pretty good. Most of our turf races go off. So, you know, that's obviously being here in South Florida is, you know, a big advantage. So, you know, but now we're racing year round. They've done a lot of things, you know, in the summer here, we do have a lot of rain and, they've done a lot for the track, for the drainage and that type of thing to make it work. So, you know, like I said, it's great to be here in the warmer weather. I know it's tough up north in the winter, but you know, that's something that we have as an advantage. And, you know, even as I've mentioned before, you know, before I had started here years ago, even in the winter, Gulfstream used to be the third signal behind New York and Santa Anita. So, you know, obviously the weather plays a little bit in that, but overall, I just believe it's been the product and, you know, what's been out there, and that's what's made Gulfstream so popular.
Mike Nyman is the director of marketing at Gulfstream Park. He is with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, big day today, 5 stakes races, including the Mucho Macho Man for the 3-year-olds, and we'll see a good one in there. The Del Roma's trained Dak Attack, a perfect 2-for-2. He makes his 3-year-old debut later this afternoon.
Yeah, just another, you know, powerful Saturday card. You get, you know, $300,000 stake races, $275,000 stake races. You know, all these are great 3-year-old races to start off the, you know, the season and, you know, get to start to see who our best horses are going to be, you know, facing through this meet into the Florida Derby and then right into the Triple Crown. So, you know, these races are very good to spot and to check them out and, you know, to see really what's, you know, who the top young horses are going to be this year.
Let's look ahead a few weeks from today. I mentioned at the top of the interview that we'll see the Pegasus World Cup on January 27th, which has an increased purse again this year. But then we'll also get a chance to see the inaugural Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on January 26th and 27th, which people can participate in. Tell me a little bit more about that, Mike. It looks like a big prize pool.
Yeah, we're really excited. This is going to be a tremendous tournament. It's going to be what we're billing it as the most player-friendly tournament. It's a $12,000 buy-in. If you're here at Gulfstream on those 2 days, that will be your whole betting. Your $12,000 will be all for betting. There's no money that goes into the prize pool from that. It's all generated by really from two places, ExpressBet and Astronic have put in $200,000 into the prize pool. And then the rest of the prize pool is going to be generated by the actual handle that's being taken place on the contest at Gulfstream. Those who don't want to come to Gulfstream, and I really would, you know, say not to wait if you're really interested in this, because you get 2 days here, you get all the admission, the food, everything is included at the track. So, and plus you can bring a guest the day of the Pegasus. So as you know, that's a paid event. So, you know, you get to be part of that. And like I said, to be part of a great handicapping contest. If you also cannot make it here to Gulfstream, you can play in Maryland at Laurel, at Golden Gate in California, or at Santa Anita, also online with ExpressBet. So you have these opportunities to play as well. In those cases, you do have a $1,000 registration on top of the $12,000, but that $1,000 goes also into the prize pool. So we're looking at a prize pool probably you're going to see probably around $500,000. So it's going to be a very interesting 2 days, and we've put together a really good contest, and you can check out the rules. Everything's on the website at GulfstreamPark.com.
Is that going to be strictly on races at Gulfstream Park?
Yes, all those races will take place for Gulfstream Park, yes, for those 2 days. Plus, we have also things going on the whole week for the players that come in. We're doing special rebates on if you come on track and you play you sign up for the Gulfstream card. And you can check all that out. So there's a lot of things that we're offering, you know, the players for that 2 days. So you don't want to miss out. There's nothing been like this before.
No, and it's a big meet. Of course, the championship meet rolling on. It's in full swing. And our Saturdays at Gulfstream series will begin with the Pegasus World Cup on January 27th. It will run all the way through the Florida Derby at the end of March. March 31st is the Florida Derby this year. And you can win a trip for two to this year's Florida Derby simply by going to our website, horseracingradio.net, and playing in the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. Still plenty of time to get in and win your way a trip for two to the Florida Derby, courtesy of Gulfstream Park and our good friend Mike Nyman, who is with us now. And Mike, this was your brainchild to come up with this concept and this idea of giving away a trip for two. And our listeners have responded, several people entering the contest, and certainly they can still get in and still have an opportunity to win, even though the contest started a few weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So you don't want to miss out on that. And it's a great partnership between Gulfstream Park and HRRN. And I know this is something that the listeners would love as a prize and come down and be part of the Florida Derby. It includes everything, your airfare, your hotel room for you and a guest, and of course, the day at the Florida Derby, and you'll have a table in 10 Palms. It's going to be a great day, so definitely want to be here. And who knows, I mean, you still might be in the cold winter at that point. So, it's a chance to get a free trip to Florida. Don't want to miss it.
I hope not.
I've told everybody that you always go the extra mile when you give out a prize, that they're going to be taken care of royally by you and Gulfstream Park. So a lot of people are really looking forward to it. We've had a terrific response.
No, I really appreciate that, and yes, I think it's going to be a cool contest, and everybody should, you know, participate. Hey, it's free, so you know, how many times you get a chance to be, you know, involved in something free with such a great prize involved?
Yeah, Mike Nyman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, as always, we appreciate the time. We're going to get you that gift from Embrace the Race for joining us on the show, and then starting January 27th through the Florida Derby, you will be with us every single Saturday morning on this program, so looking forward to getting down there, getting into some warmer weather, and getting a chance to hang out with you.
Hey, all great. Looking forward to seeing all you guys. And I have to mention, Jude, thanks a lot for putting up on Twitter about the 50-1, so I was able to tape that. Now I have it.
So. That's good. I knew you'd like that.
And I loved it. And I actually loved your review. I thought it was really well thought.
Thank you.
Mike, appreciate it, my friend. Happy New Year.
Thanks, and same to you guys. Take care.
All right. What'd you do on 50-1? I missed it.
Oh, you were probably on a beach.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I missed it.
Well, there was 50-1 was going to be on television, I guess, for the first time.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure Mike Nyman found out about it, because that's like his favorite movie. That's his Casablanca.
Yeah, right. By far, he loves that movie.
So anyway, I tagged him in a tweet, so he would be able to.
Perfect. By the way, that trip for two to the Florida Derby, we're going to give it away after the Fountain of Youth Stakes, which is fast approaching, but you still have plenty of time to get into the contest. The leader has 32 points, and if you don't know how it all works, well, what you do is you go to horseracingradio.net, you click on the banner at the top of the page, and it takes you to the contest page. All the rules are listed there, but each week, every Saturday, you're going to go to that page, and you're going to make a selection for the designated contest race at Gulfstream Park. This afternoon's race is the Mucho Macho Man Stakes, which has a post time of 4:37 Eastern. Now, you have to have your picks in 30 minutes prior to that post time, so 4:07 is the cutoff this afternoon. You're going to pick the winner of the Mucho Macho Man, at least who you think will win, and then an alternate selection in case your primary selection is scratched. If you pick the winner, you're going to get 10 points. If you pick the second place finisher, you're going to get 7 and 5 points for third. So you still have an opportunity to get into this. And even if you don't have any points, you can still catch the leaders if you're pretty good at making your selections. So head there now. It's horseracingradio.net. It's the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, your chance to win a trip for two to this year's Florida Derby at Gulfstream Park. And by the way, you'll be able to join us on this very same program live from Gulfstream that morning. Should be fun. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the 2018 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of 6 of his first 7 starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any 3-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride with a record 94 stakes races worth $28.6 million in purses, highlighted by 12 Super Saturday programs, including the $16 million Pegasus World Cup on January 27th and the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 31st. Every Saturday, come out early to enjoy breakfast at Gulfstream from 8 to 10:30, and be sure to register for the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship taking place January 26th and 27th with an estimated total prize pool of more than $500,000. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Mastery retired undefeated, winning his four starts by a combined 20 lengths. A six-figure September sale purchase, he won impressively in his two-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At 3, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe, running a 105 buyer and winning by open lengths. Mastery, new for 2018 at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Irish War Cry turns for home with Taprit trying to run him down in the last furlong. The two of them are now a half length apart. They are clear of Gormley and Patch. It is Irish War Cry, and on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes. They have defeated Irish War Cry. Patch was third. Gormley was fourth in 2 minutes, 30.02 seconds. His brother won it last year. He did it today. Jose Ortiz, a gallant win on Taprit.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Larry Comas with the call of the Belmont Stakes. Jose Ortiz picking up his first win in the race, his first classic victory, and what a year it has been for young Jose Ortiz. He has emerged as maybe the top rider in the game today. Taking a look at the year that he had, well, more than 266 wins to his credit. He earned more than $27 million in purses, several great stakes, including that winning ride aboard Taprit in the Belmont. How good is Jose Ortiz, JT?
Oh, well, he's fantastic. One of my favorites. I kind of became an instant fan after watching him ride the turf at Saratoga a couple years ago when he first came on the scene. He's got a lot of talent, and he seems like such a nice guy. You know, he's great to talk to. He's a hard worker. Him and his brother are out at the track every morning working horses. And, you know, it's great to see a young rider like that really, you know, take a hold of the sport and work hard at it. Not just, you know, amass a bunch of checks and lay in bed. So, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, interestingly enough, it was actually his brother, his older brother, Irod, who ended up recording the most wins as for a jockey in 2017. He had over 300, but didn't quite have the purse earnings that his younger brother had. And, of course, as I mentioned, Jose, that winning ride in the Belmont Stakes. If you look at the Grade 1 victories, now, Jose is up for an Eclipse Award again this year. You have Javier Castellano, who is one of the finalists, along with Hall of Famer Mike Smith. That's a pretty good trio. Javier Castellano having a tremendous year. He finishes second behind Jose Ortiz in terms of the number of earnings. But when you look at the Grade 1 victories, Jude, and here's what it might come down to. Mike Smith, 13 Grade 1 victories. And keep in mind, Mike is not riding nearly as much as the other two. Mike Smith, 13 Grade 1 victories. Jose Ortiz tied with Mike with 13 Grade 1. So I think if you look at the entire body of work and everything that Jose accomplished, it's going to be hard not to vote for him as the top rider in the country.
Yeah, I think that's true. Mike Smith has had, you know, just a tremendous run here the last few years. But Jose was riding day and night. I mean, the guy's tireless, 7 days a week sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he certainly deserves it.
If you look at all greatest stakes victories, not just grade ones, well, Javier Castellano tops that list. So, you know, you throw that into the mix and you go, well, okay, wait a minute. Now, they each have their own little argument here, and they each have a reason that you could vote for them. So we'll see how it plays out. But those are the three finalists for Top Jockey: Javier Castellano, Jose Ortiz, and Hall of Famer Mike Smith. And, boy, what a trio that is. A couple of the more wide-open categories. The two-year-old male category. You have Bolt Doro. You have Good Magic, who defeated Bolt Doro and everybody else in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And you have Solimini, who won the Los Al Futurity but was disqualified in his most recent outing. How do you see that one?
Well, you know, there's several other horses, I think, that could have made the cut but didn't. A horse like Catholic Boy, who won on two surfaces. And I mean, it was a wide-open category. Bolt Doro won two grade ones. He has a terrific body of work. You have to like him a little bit. Solimini, it was unfortunate that he got DQ'd out of a grade one victory, but, you know, he still crossed the wire first, and the school's out on whether that was a good decision or not. I personally think it wasn't. But he certainly fired in his races. Good Magic, I mean, his performance in the Breeders' Cup was awesome. So I think you have to decide, really. I think it comes down to, you know, was Good Magic breaking his maiden in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile more important or more impressive than Bolt Doro's two grade ones and his body of work?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the decision that the voters had to make there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it comes down to those two. I'm not sure Solimini has enough firepower to get past those two in terms of the championship honors, but I think Bolt Doro, his totality of work is probably what's going to put him over the top, but you're going to have a lot of people that will go Good Magic's way because of that win over Bolt Doro in the biggest juvenile race of the year, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. The three-year-old male category, it was a head-scratcher all year long. The three separate winners of the Triple Crown races, Always Dreaming, the only winner of a Triple Crown race to be among the three finalists. He joins Battle of Midway, who defeated older horses in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and West Coast from the barn of Bob Baffert as the three finalists in that three-year-old male category. West Coast really put in a huge surge in the second half of the season to get his name on this list. Is it enough to push him over the top over the Derby winner, Always Dreaming, and Battle of Midway?
Well, I guess it's a matter of personal opinion. I struggled with this a little bit. You know, I thought even IRAP was a horse that really performed well.
He did.
You know, once he broke his maiden in the Toyota Bluegrass, it was all, sunshine for him. And he ran some game races.
Never got the grade one victory, though.
Yeah, that's
never
true.
Never got that grade one.
Unfortunately, he got hurt. You know, a Battle of Midway, beating older horses, that was impressive, you know?
Yeah.
But Does it overtake the Kentucky Derby? I don't know. I mean, I think the leader in the clubhouse, as you would say, would be Always Dreaming, but I don't think you could knock anybody for picking West Coast or Battle of Midway.
No, I mean, West Coast came back and won the Travers, of course, a grade one, the Midsummer Derby. So let's take that and make it an extension of the Triple Crown. West Coast gets a victory there in a classic race like the Travers. Then he came back and won the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. So he had a couple of Grade 1 victories in 2017. Always Dreaming. Don't forget, he had two Grade 1 victories too. Not only did he win the Kentucky Derby, but he won the Florida Derby right before that. So he recorded two Grade 1s. To me, Always Dreaming, West Coast, it's a really difficult decision for voters to separate those two.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, where the Kentucky Derby weighs, yeah. And we all know that's the most important race in the United States. I mean, it's a race that everybody wants to win, right? So I think that might give the edge to Always Dreaming, but like I say, if somebody went West Coast, you couldn't go, well, you're an idiot. you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things. It's
all of those Eclipse categories going to be decided and announced January 25th at Gulfstream Park right before the Pegasus World Cup, which comes up on January 27th. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap this one up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power. Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched and keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and classic-placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop since returning from Japan are now weanlings and have sold for up to $425,000. Boasting excellent fertility, his 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
Welcome back. Mike Pettit, Jude Feld, getting set to wrap up this inaugural 2018 edition of the Equine Forum. Our poll question of the afternoon, well, of the morning, actually. You haven't reached the afternoon yet, so we'll go with the poll question of the morning at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We asked you to weigh in as to which of this afternoon's major three-year-old prep races or stakes races is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby starter. Not the winner, but a starter in the Kentucky Derby. And HRN Nation has spoken, and it looks like, JT, the Sham Stakes is going to be the winner at 59% of the vote currently, 41% coming in for the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream Park. So I guess more McKenzie fans than Dak Attack fans at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think Steve Haskins' comment about Baffert getting more horses to the Kentucky Derby than most of the trainers participating today, that's that probably swayed some people, but it's true. It's a, you can't deny that. It's a fact.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I, you know, look, I mean, Dak Attack is very talented. We'll see how – and that's the other thing, right? We talk about this a lot, that development. You know this as a former trainer. The development from 2 to 3 in those few months, massive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, horses can change overnight.
All right, our thanks to all of our special guests for joining us here this morning. Steve Haskin, Hall of Fame turf rider. If you missed that interview, head back to the website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast because he was tremendous talking about the three-year-olds. Ken Wilkins from Medina Springs previewing their stallion roster for 2018. Alex Waldrop, the president and CEO of the NTRA, and Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. They were all here. And again, all of those going to be available on a podcast on our website, horseracingradio.net. Head to our website, enter our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, a chance for a trip for two to the Florida Derby on March 31st. But a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us. For our producers, Lee Delapina, for Sean C. with social media, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.